We'll be spending our time this afternoon in Psalm 43. And whereas we are considering this psalm in the aftermath of a church feast, St. Augustine apparently once preached this psalm on the afternoon of a church fast day. And he said that this psalm is a short one, and it satisfies the mental cravings of the hearers without imposing too severe a trial on the hunger of those fasting. And so I trust that neither will it impose too severe a trial on us as we've been gathered together today for a long day of worship and fellowship and deciding matters of church business. And the psalm, as Augustine said, is indeed a short one. And many have supposed, with some justification, that this psalm and the preceding psalm, Psalm 42, originally formed one composition. And this may well, in fact, be the case, seeing that the temperament of them is much the same, the sentiments expressed are much the same, and some portions are identical to one another in their wording. And although we'll be concentrating our time this afternoon in Psalm 43, I will read both of the Psalms, both Psalm 42 and 43, in order for us to see the overall picture and get the general context. So please look with me if you would, and we'll begin in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him for the help of His presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. As in so many of the Psalms, the psalmist here is in trouble. And again, as in so many of the Psalms, we don't know exactly all of the particulars of what is going on. What we can be sure of is that this man is in distress. As we can note from verse 5 of Psalm 43, his soul is in despair and disturbed. And this verse is nearly identical to what we read in verse 5 of the preceding psalm, and is exactly identical to what we read in verse 11 of Psalm 42. And the twin themes of despair and hope that appear in these verses run throughout these two psalms. And the hard truth of it is that these twin themes of despair and hope often run through our lives as well. And so we will consider each of these themes in turn. In 43 verse 1, the psalmist pleads with God to vindicate him, to plead his case against an ungodly nation. And again, we can't know exactly what's going on, but apparently, as he says in verse 2, he is going about in mourning because of the oppression of the enemy. Deceitful and unjust men are after him and are oppressing him, and he seeks his deliverance from them, from God. And note that the picture here in this psalm is not that of a godless man who all of a sudden gets into trouble and then decides that he's going to seek the face of God. Far from that, the man before us is a godly man who has walked with God for quite some time. In verse 2, he calls God the God of my strength. This man had gained a reputation for being God's man. For in the previous psalm, he said that he had been in the habit of leading the throng in procession to the house of God. But yet all of those things notwithstanding, he's now in a totally different situation. He's in despair. He goes about mourning because of the oppression of his deceitful and unjust enemies. And he goes so far in verse 2 as to ask God why God has rejected him. And if we're honest about it, that happens to all of us at some point or another, doesn't it? Perhaps the enemy is a deceitful and unjust man, as was the case with this psalmist. Or perhaps it is your own deceitful heart or flesh. Or maybe it's the great enemy himself, the devil. Or it could be a besetting sin that, try as we might, we never can seem to overcome it. Or maybe it's some strained relationship, be it with a family member, co-worker, spouse, whatever the case may be. This list could go on and on and on. And I suppose that we all know from first-hand experiences that there is no shortage of things which tend to discourage us and oppress us. These things hurt. In a word, they bring despair. And we as Christians need to be honest about this. We might be tempted to think that somehow honesty with respect to these things is somehow a denial of our faith or a denial of the goodness of the God we serve. But if you look closely at the lives of the saints of God as they are held out to us in Scripture, you will notice that these men and women are no Stoics who are, as it were, beyond feeling pain. If you read the conversations of Job or the Psalms of David or the Lamentations of Jeremiah, you will discover that these were men who were godly men, and yet they were men of intense feeling and plain-spoken honesty when it came to these type of things, the despair that they often felt and faced. And they did not sugarcoat the life of faith as they exhibited to us. So the psalmist here even goes so far as to acknowledge that he feels like God has rejected him. And sometimes you might feel that way as well. But what you need to realize is that such a feeling doesn't mark you out as being abnormal or substandard in your Christian life. Because that would be about the worst thing we could do. We're already oppressed by the situation, and then if we feel on top of that that we're the only ones who has ever felt as though God were rejecting us, that would, and that all of the other children of God enjoy an unhindered happiness all of their days, that could be a double blow to us, as it were, pushing us down into even deeper depths. But we need to realize that most, many, if not all, of the children of God have walked very near to the valley of the shadow of death at some point in their time. And Martin Luther said that if you wish to see the Holy Christian Church depicted in living colors and given a living form in a painting in miniature, then place the book of Psalms in front of you. He said, nay, you will see your own self in it, and you can know yourself and the God who created all things. And we do see ourselves in the Psalms. But the thing that we need to notice from this psalm is that though times of despair do come into the lives of the people of God, and we need to be honest about it, the people of God are not to remain there. Despair does come, but the key question to ask is, what do we do about it? Is there no hope at all of climbing out of the pit? Are we to continue to wallow in self-pity? Well, not at all. This psalm has words of hope for us. And we'll pay attention to what the psalmist says. First, notice what he says to God there in verse 3. In his oppression and despair, he cries out, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. He asked that the light of God and the truth of God would go forth and lead him and bring him out of despair and back to the place in which God is worshipped. So he is seeking the light of God and the truth of God. He asked God to send out these things, his light and his truth, that they would lead him in order that he might be restored to his former place before God in worship. And friend, in the midst of your despair, whether you're facing it now or whether you face it sometime in the future, these are the things that you must seek as well. You must seek the light of God because the world is full of darkness. You must seek the truth of God because the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And when I say to seek the light of God and seek the truth of God, I'm not calling upon you to seek some mystical experience. Rather, I am urging you to seek the sources of the light and truth of God. And principally, they are to be found here in the Word of God written and in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh. For it is Christ who declares, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it is he who declared, I am the truth. And we read of Scripture in Psalm 119 that the psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And we know that the things contained in this book are true because they are given to us at the inspiration of him who cannot lie. So friend, I urge you to follow in the footsteps of this psalmist who cried out to God that he would send out his light and his truth. Recognize that God has indeed already done this in giving us his written word and in giving us the word made flesh in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in seeking the light and truth of God, also pray for wisdom from the Spirit that you would be able to rightly apply the message of Scripture and the message of Christ to your situation, whatever it may be. Because when you're in despair, it's the Word of God, rightly understood and applied, that you need in order to bring you back into the light and to put you back on the path that you need to be on. It is Christ that you need. The opinions of the world and the philosophies of men may appear to profit for a time, but in the end, these things will pass away. It is Christ and His Word that abide forever. So as you're on the road from despair to hope, follow in the footsteps of this psalmist who cried out to God that God would lead him by his light and by his truth. But notice also that the psalmist also speaks to someone else. He speaks to God, but he also speaks to himself. Look there at verse 5 where he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The psalmist is here addressing himself. In our culture, people might think you're a little bit funny if you start talking to yourself. But that's exactly what the author of our psalm is doing. He's speaking to himself. And he starts by asking his soul some questions. He says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you so disturbed within me? And he is in despair and he is disturbed. But yet the way he asks himself these questions, he's saying, self, why are you so upset? Why are you so worried? And in the manner he's asking these questions, he's hinting at the fact that he knows he's not supposed to be feeling this way. It is as though he were saying, what are you doing being so down in the dumps and in despair like that? He knows that he has God for his hope and that he has ultimately no reason for being like that. And so after asking himself these questions, he moves on to an imperative. He gives himself a command, and also the underlying reason for that command. He says, hope in God, or it could also be rendered, wait for God. And he reminds himself, and he commands himself, to place his hope in God, to be willing to wait upon God, to bring him out of the situation that he is currently in. And he grounds his hope on the fact that he will yet praise God. He is looking forward to that day that he will praise God in the future. And why will he praise God? He will praise God because God is the help of his countenance and his God. It is God who is his help. He more than likely has been helped by God before. He's seen the works of God on his behalf before. And now he can refer to God with confidence as my God, the God who is for me. And so when you find yourself in discouraging situations that tend to lead you into despair, think again about this psalmist here in Psalm 43. He was in the depths of despair himself. And it's all right to start there when you're facing discouraging things. But the Christian is not supposed to stay there, because a hopeless Christian is a contradiction in terms. Because as believers in Christ, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our God is the God who raises the dead, who gives strength to the weak and preserves the weary so that they may carry on unto the end. And may we learn from this text the lesson that Paul learned from his trial, where he wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he said that we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and He will yet deliver us. And may we wait upon Him and trust in Him, hope in Him at all times, Him who is the help of our countenance and our God. Please pray with me. Lord, we give thanks for the honesty of Your saints and the honesty of the inspiration that You gave them to record for us Your Word in Scripture, that Lord, although we have been born again, we have been made new in Christ, Lord, there are still things that discourage us, that oppress us. And Lord, we thank You for the pattern that we see in the Psalms of how we can move from despair to hope and have great confidence in You. Lord, we pray that You would bring these truths to our mind when we face discouragement. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.